Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and you know, his love for this church is so, I think it's important for us to look at that and just kind of connect and just kind of plug into his senses here. He says in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I'm so happy I'm part of a church that I'm thankful for everybody who's a part of it. You know, there's not a single person in the church that I don't want to get along with, that I don't want to love, that I don't hope they'll be part of our family. There's nobody I just would get out. And so I thank God upon every remembrance of you. And I see that Paul says that there, and I feel the same way towards you. Look at verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. So praying with a fullness and loving them with a fullness. He's overflowing with gratitude, overwhelming gratitude for that church. And I hope you feel that way about our church, because I know I certainly do. And he says, and when I pray for you, I pray with joy and with gratitude. I pray with love, verse 4, making requests with joy. He says, I'm happy to go to God on your behalf. You ever had to go run in between two people and they say, hey, will you go ask so-and-so if they'll do something for me? And they put you in that compromising position and you say, man, I don't know if I want to ask them to do that for you. So, but Paul says, when it comes to you and I go to God, I'm happy to ask for requests on your behalf. There's a joy. I make requests with joy. Verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now. And that fellowship, you know, and that's something that the Singletary said this morning. It's different to watch church online than it is to come to church. And I'll tell you something, you hear the same message. It's not the preaching that's different. It is the fellowship. It is the connection, the engaging with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I watch, and you know, it's the same thing as people have come back that were away because of the virus, is that when you came back, you felt that love and people were excited to see you. I'm so happy to go somewhere where people are excited to see me. I don't know if you've ever heard about this, but they said your wife loves you, but not as much as your dog does. How many of you ever heard that? All right. And the way to test that is, if you put your dog in the trunk of your car and come back 20 minutes later, he'll just be wagging his tail so happy to see you. Y'all seen it too, huh? All right, I won't finish that story. But I'm happy to go somewhere, and just think of that. Isn't it great to go somewhere where people are glad you're there? And Paul says, when it comes to the church at Philippi, he says, I thank God, I request with joy on your behalf when I pray. And he said, and your fellowship, man, that fellowship that we have, working together with you. It's not just about being around each other, but it's about having the same goal. It's about having the same mission. And that's what fellowship is, the fellowship in the gospel. Because, you know, ministry and especially assembling, as the Bible says we should assemble ourselves, is about connecting and engaging, and it's about people. That's what ministry is. We'll have business meeting in a little while. It's a necessary part of what we do. It is not what we do. What we do is the gospel. What we do is ministry. What we do is preach the word. What we do is touch people's lives and point them to Christ. So the business is not what we do, even though it's part of what we have to do. That's not the center of our purpose here. And it should never become central to the purpose of a church. The church ought to be about ministry, ought to be about the gospel, ought to be about helping people. And then in verse number 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Paul says, God started something in you. That's good, isn't it? I'm glad God started something in us, in me, in you. I'm glad that God looked on us when we were unlovable. You know, the Bible talks about him when, in reference to Israel. He talks about Israel as a baby that was born and abandoned in a field. Umbilical cord, not even cut back the way it should and still covered in blood. And he said, and yet I found you helpless and unlovable, and I took you and I loved you and I provided for you until now you're grown and you're healthy and you're strong, and now what will you do? Now that you're independent, will you go out on your own, or will you stay connected to the one who saved you? Wow. And here he says, God began a good work. He started something in us. What did he do? Man, the first thing he did is he washed all that wickedness away, all that sin away, all the past. My past is washed away. It's all gone. He gave me a new life. He gave us new life. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What else? He gave us the Word of God, that by reading the Word of God, in fact, by pouring it into us, that we could transform our minds, that our minds, our way of thinking, our perception can be changed. Man, we don't have to be what we used to be. I don't have to be today what I was tomorrow, or was yesterday. Boy, that'll go over well, won't it? I won't use any political terms. I'll leave it right where it was. I don't have to be today what I was yesterday. And I don't have to be tomorrow what I am today. I can grow. I can develop. I can shed all of that by the grace of God. I can leave it behind. I can wash it away through the blood of Christ. I'm confident of God's plan for you. This thing I know, God has a plan for you. Before I formed thee in the belly, he said, I knew you. I separated you. I ordained you. I sanctified you. I gave you all the opportunity to have a great life of serving God. A life that fulfills you. A life that satisfies you. Now what will we do with that? What are we going to do with that? He's begun a good work. He gave us a new hope. And it says that he will, look at what it says, he will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. That is a performance. It just keeps going. God doesn't give up on us. God doesn't give up even when we give up. Even when we quit, God doesn't give up on us. He still has a plan. He still has a purpose. How many of you have a GPS in your car and you have the volume on? How many of you have it in English? I love telling that story about Sister Carolyn. One of my friends borrowed my GPS, and he changed it to Spanish as a joke, and then I never turned it up, so I just had it on mute. Well, she borrowed it, and she turned it up, and it kept talking to her in Spanish all the way to Tampa. or Gainesville, wherever she was going. But if you have a GPS, you know what it'll do? If you go somewhere it told you not to go, it says redirecting, recalculating. And it'll tell you how to get back on track. It'll tell you how to get back to it. And sometimes I had to argue with mine the other day, because it sent me some way, and it worked the first day, but the second day it didn't work too good. So the third day I didn't even try it. And man, that GPS just wanted me to go there. It said, no, you got to turn around. Turn around, make a U-turn. But I just kept going on my own way, and finally it caught up to me, and it said, okay, now take a left. You see, and that's what God does. It doesn't matter how far we go. God's still trying to draw us back, trying to draw us back, because he doesn't just say, okay, you're on your own. God doesn't do that. God says, I want you back. I'm confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, who started it? The Holy Ghost convicted us. We heard the gospel that Jesus had already died for us, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Who started it? God started it. He started that good work. He gave us the opportunity. We got saved. He had a plan already lined out for us. And every time we get off course, he redirects. He adjusts the plan, recalculating to get us where we need to be. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He doesn't give up. You know why? Because God knows what we can do. How many of you ever thought you couldn't do something, but you did? By the way, don't you know everything's impossible until somebody does it? And then somebody does it. Nobody could ever run the mile in 10 minutes until somebody did it. Well, nobody could ever run it in 8 until somebody did it. Well, nobody certainly could run it in five until somebody did it. By the way, it wasn't me. I know you're looking at me that way. It wasn't me. It's always impossible until somebody does it. So what is it that you can do, that I can do, that we can do together, that we have counted ourselves out of? That we have said, no, there's just no way we could do that. But God knows what we can do. So if he lays it on your heart, if he gives you a burden to do it, to say it, to go there, to give it, whatever it may be, God lays it on your heart. Say, Lord, are you sure? And it doesn't go away, then we obey him. Because he knows what we can do. That's why. And he's completing the work. He's still working. He's still doing it. He's empowered us to do great things for others. He's empowered us to show others the way of God. But if we don't have faith, why would they? Peter got out, he walked on water. We talked about it this morning. But then when he started to sink because of the circumstances around him, what did Jesus say? Why did you doubt? It was the doubt, it was the fear that crept in and made you think you couldn't. But Jesus says, come on, Peter. Why? Because Jesus knew what he could make Peter do. Jesus knew what he could help Peter do. And Jesus knows what he could help us do. Verse number 7. He says, it is meet for me to think this of you all. I'll tell you something. If a pastor doesn't believe in the people in his church, he ought to quit. Get up and just beat on people every service. I hope y'all don't think I beat on y'all every service. I challenge you. We lift the goal. Raise it up. Say, we can do this. I believe in the greatness of Capitol Heights Baptist Church. I believe in the possibilities of Capitol Heights Baptist Church. Look, some of you have been here a long time and you've seen where we've been in those stages. But don't ever lose hope. Guys, look at our country and we see the division and we see the worldliness and we see the secularism. But don't ever lose hope in God's ability to turn America around. Look, I don't know what's on God's calendar. But the time that I think that God can't bring revival to us, to our region, to our nation, then I should quit preaching. God can. God can turn our country around. God can push all this filth out again and bring back revival. But it's not going to start in D.C. And it's not going to start in the Capitol building. It starts in God's house. It starts in the hearts of God's people. But we've got to believe it. Paul said to Philippi, I believe in you. I'm confident in you. I'm confident in God. And so I believe this of you. And it's right for us to believe the best and hope the best for each other. Verse number 8. God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. God knows the depth and height of my love for you all and of your love for one another. God knows it. God knows if we do or if we don't. God knows if we're vested or if we're not. God knows if it matters to us or doesn't. God knows. Paul says, God knows my love for you. And of course, he says, in the faith. But he says, God knows I believe in you. God knows I love you. Verse 9. And I pray that your love may abound. That your love may abound. That your blessing toward others may abound. That your interest in others may abound. That your care, that your compassion, that your pity may abound. That love for others. And God knows my love, but he says my prayer is the growth of your love. Look at this word he uses, in knowledge. In knowledge. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. How many of you love somebody till you got to know them? You just thought, boy, I just love them. And then you got to know them. You said, what a miserable person that is. Why did I ever expose myself to that kind of attitude? Well, we love, but when we have more knowledge, we should love more. You know, if you love somebody who, a lot of times people who are hurt are hurtful. But if we can love them enough to get over that obstacle, to find out where their pain is, then we can love them in knowledge. Children too. Yeah, children and adults. But we got to love them. And so he says, in our knowledge, we can love them. To not be ignorantly loving them, right? We say love is blind. And most of the time I see it, love is ignorant too. But Paul says here, we should love in knowledge. Having our knowledge of it, we should still love them. And in judgment. Judgment, and here, is perception. It's what you see. So he says two things. He says, just what you see on the outside, but also what's on the inside. We ought to love each other. And that it'll grow, and it'll grow. And that people will see us, and they'll see on the outside that we're loving. But that they'll see that on the inside, what's true about us is that we're really loving. That it's sincere love. That it's not just religion. That it's not a facade. That it's not an act. But that it's real. That it's sincere. Verse number 10, finally. That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. You know what he says? He says in the church, and he's talking to a church here, Philippi. He says there needs to be harmony and sincerity. Got to be. What's Philippians, right? Word love, root word. We're talking about brotherly love, the city of brotherly love. That church of brotherly love. And as he writes to them, he says, there needs to be harmony. And it needs to be sincere. As I've dealt with people in the past and I've said, look, just even if you don't like them, just try to get along with them. That's fine, temporarily. But it shouldn't be the way we live. It shouldn't be the way we are in church. It's one thing if you don't like somebody and so you just try to be cordial for a little while, but at some point, there's got to be a breakthrough. There's got to be either real love or real separation. We need harmony and sincerity. And I know, you know, it's interesting, these two messages this morning and tonight, in talking about harmony in the church, and it's so important. And again, so far as I know, we have that. I believe we have that. Guys, let's keep it. Let's keep it. Let's love one another in knowledge and sincerity. God, we love you so much and pray that you will draw us to you. Make us useful to your purpose, that you'll forgive our sins. That you will, in fact, do great things in us and by us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.